It's 10 o'clock Mountain Time, and this morning we've got to talk about our looming rail strike coming down the pike. Tom and Shane. Tom is in Bozeman, Montana. Shane's in Kamloops, Canada. And we need to remind you, we're here every Tuesday and Thursday, 10 a.m. Mountain Time. So don't forget to subscribe, ring the notification bell, like us, and we'll appreciate that very much. So, all right, Shane. Big rail strike. I noticed they waited till after the election to really get down on this train strike.
Well, yeah, of course they did, because it's one of these things that he promised he solved, and then we find out he didn't. Yeah. We talked about it before the election. It's just nobody was wanting to talk about it because it hurts their narrative and could hurt the election.
Yeah. Well, they put everybody the election sucked all the oxygen out of the room. That's the problem. And now this thing is ready to go off the rails, so to speak, at 9 on December 9th, unless we get some kind of agreement here. We've got 12 unions, 8 of them agreed to the thing, and 4 of them did not. So that's where we find ourselves.
It's just amazing, isn't it? I mean, when you realize that an issue like this isn't being dealt with media response every day from the Secretary of Transportation. Oh, no, he's busy at home.
He's doing. Doing things at home. So, well, let's talk a little bit about what management offered these guys. It was the biggest union is the conductors. There's 28,000 conductors. There's 24,000 engineers, and there's 1,300 yard masters. 53,000, if we want to round it down, just for easy math. And one of the things that's the sticking point, Shane, is the sick pay. Mm-hmm. They want 6 days of sick pay. So if we take 53,000 employees times 6 days, that's 318,000 work days, or 871 years. 53,000 employees times 72 hours. They work 12-hour days, so 6 12-hour days times 6 days. That's 3,816,000 hours. And if we multiply that by $28 an hour, we get $106,848,000 of zero production from those employees. And in addition to that, Shane, they want $1,000 a year extra. So that's another $53 million. So we're at about $160 million as we... look, and that's just for three unions. I mean, there's 12 of them. There's 12. So that's the thing there. So they get an immediate 14% raise with back pay dating to 2020 plus raises totaling 24%. And as I mentioned, also they also get the $1,000. So I don't know, Shane, almost a 25% increase in pay. That's pretty good. And it goes back 2 years ago. Yeah. So we're going to be talking about this again at the end of 2023. So, or end of 2024. Sorry. So it's only in reality, it's a 2 year contract.
Well, the remarkable thing is two of these unions, are involved with Burlington Northern, owned by Warren Buffett and Berkshire Hathaway. So he can't be happy about this because, not that making $400 million a week in cash doesn't sort of hurt him, but he's not one to support the labormen. And then, of course, you have this whole situation with the president and his policies because of shipping the most important things, food and gas and lubricants, oils, particularly oil for the Northeast for winter. Mm-hmm. All these things come into play, so there's no question that this would be massive. It's one of these things that you know, every week that this would go by would affect your GDP by 1%. And, you know, you're talking about $160 billion in losses from it. Of course, you know, the big ones are, you know, the ones that are complaining the most, right? Like the chemical industry, you know, they're saying, you know, 3M, Dow, DuPont, DPX, ExxonMobil, NEI, Lilly, I mean, $2.8 billion a week in failed deliveries or lost revenue. So $160 billion within a week, can you imagine what that do the economy for if it lasted two or three weeks? Well, till Christmas?
Oh, yeah. Well, Christmas is done if they do this. I don't know. I don't blame the companies. If you're already giving you 24% and, you know, to hold this up over some sick days, and that's really hard for people to see. Because as I mentioned, these guys work 12-hour days. They're 12 on and 24 off, like the firefighters do and some of the police departments do. So it's a conundrum there. So I don't know.
Well, the other thing too is over 60% of what trains carry are containers.
Mm-hmm.
And 11 million every day arrive from seaports, another 2.7 million by rail from Canada and Mexico. So it's an amazing reality when you look at the numbers of how huge this could be. I mean, it's $10,000 to $20,000 right now to run a container from China to the United States, 15-day trip. The ship costs about $1,500 a day to do it. So it's pretty remarkable when you look at these cargo ships. I mean, they carry 24,000 of these containers at a time.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is a major trade route to the consumer of the world. But I don't know. It's so strange to me about how the government the policy of your government is handling it. It's like they don't think it's important. So then they decide, well, we'll interfere because, you know, we believe in the working man and the new leader of the Democratic Party, passed legislation to stop the strike and send it on to the Senate, which it'll never get by in the Senate. So all political issues being thrown right in your face.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that for a second. What power does Congress have to stop the strike? Article 1, Section 8, Clause 3 of the U.S. Constitution states that the Congress shall have the power to regulate commerce with foreign nations and among the several states and the Indian tribes. And in 1917, the Supreme Court confirmed that Congress has the authority to intervene in all rail labor disputes that threaten to disrupt interstate commerce. So because I was wondering about that till I looked it up, Shane, as to what power does the government have to stop people or make people go to work? I guess you can stop them from working with the COVID situation, but now you got to force them to go back.
You would think so, but I mean, you try and understand it and they don't seem to, you know, give it that importance. That's the sad
thing. Yeah. Well, I think it would be sad if they did go on strike, because if one of these 12 unions go on strike, they'll all respect the picket lines and they'll all be out, all 12 of them. So there won't be any two-man teams in locomotives to haul the freight. There won't be any rail workers to fix the rails, and there won't be anybody to clean and maintain the trains. And, they're just going to sit. And 30% of everything we do comes by rail. The rest goes by truck, of course. It's quite a mess. And Bruce weighs in. Ronald Reagan fired all the flight control workers. That's true. And maybe Biden will fire all the rail workers.
I don't think he'd get away with that.
Don't think he'll. Don't think he'll do that.
The other thing that's important to recognize, this isn't just about commercial shipping. It's also about passenger lines.
That's true. Yeah.
In the Northeast, 60% of the people that move on a daily basis, to work to Washington, D.C. or New York or Boston, wherever they are, particularly from Connecticut and Delaware and so forth, New Jersey, will find themselves without a way to get to work. How incredible would that be?
Yeah. Well, there's always Uber.
That's true.
Yeah, they can Uber from New Jersey to D.C. or Virginia to D.C. or wherever they happen to be. So, all those rich jobs, come on, those government jobs, they got a car allowance, I'm sure. So they'll be set. The other thing too, Shane, hang on. The other thing too is we've got a government shutdown about a week after that, this rail strike.
If they don't kick the can down the road and get another omnibus resolution passed to fund your government.
Yeah, they'll have, we'll be sitting there none of the monuments will be open or anything like that. So,
well, I think they'll fund it till January and then force the Republicans to deal with it. That's the Democrats now, right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
a problem for the Republicans in the first of the year.
Yeah. Bruce rightly points out, Congress is passing a resolution based on the September agreement. And, they're not going to add any amendments to this because it's going to have to go back to the full unions, all 12 of them, to vote again. And they're not going to get that done by December 9th. So this sick day thing is the one thing they've got to work that out somehow.
And the other thing that's so fascinating with the negotiations from September is aside from buttoning their nose to the government, they up the ante. Mm-hmm. They've asked now for more.
Yeah.
So the government agreed for what they wanted before, and they said no, because they figured, well, if it was easy to get that, let's go for it all now.
Yeah, I was going to say, if they come out of this with a 24% pay raise and extra $1,000 a year, and what else we get? 14% back pay till 20, back to 2020, 2 years payback.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a pretty Merry Christmas.
It is.
I would say.
I remember 40 years ago when the technology allowed them to put a black box on the last car so they could get rid of the caboose and three conductors, right? But it took 2 years to institute the technology because the union tried to block it. And so they've got long memories about getting booted by technology, and it's all coming because within the next 10 years, trains will all be run by AI. They'll be, artificial intelligence will run the engines more efficiently and safely, cameras and whatever galore. And then you remember 6 months ago, the video we saw and the reporting we saw, these trains passing through urban cities and people jumping on them and busting open the doors and dumping stuff out on the side.
Yeah. Yeah. Robbing the train as it drives through your neighborhood.
That's right.
What could go wrong?
What could go wrong? Well, you smash your television screen.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Well, that's why I say, 30% of this commerce and anything of weight, is going to travel by rail. So, they're I don't know if they're shipping jewelry or not, but they're shipping washing machines and automobiles and tools and all kinds of stuff like that. So, I haven't heard of the break-ins recently, but it was open season there for a while through LA.
That's right. And, a 3-week strike, will cause real industrial problems because of lubricants. Without lubricants, you don't have any industry.
Yeah. You don't have anything.
Because you can't produce anything without ball bearings. And you need the lubricant for ball bearings. So the effects, not just on the economy for industry, but then you have this whole issue with inflation. So all of a sudden now with inflation at 15 to 18%, although they're saying it's at 8.
Yeah.
You know, your wonderful Fed chairman came out and lied again. Now you can see inflation on food alone could, you know, pop to 20% or more because of, you know, it not being around.
Well, that's what I say. Grain's going to be hauled by freight. You know, coal. they're not going to, coal is the other one. But yeah, our wheat, corn, all of that stuff's goes by rail. So yeah, the food shortages could be a situation over time. And going into the Christmas season with you know, anemic store shelves, not good.
Well, the fascinating thing about it is that supply and demand, you know, which Craig wants to know what's the cause of inflation is supply and demand.
Yeah.
What the government's doing right now, you know, Powell, your Fed chairman, is he's driving Americans away from a consumption of want and driving to just drive them to a consumption of need. And when you do that, when you direct sales or consumption, you're going to create inflation. And of course, the balance of that becomes wages. So all this accelerates the recession you're in. And, you know, this whole talk about a soft landing, I mean, this is the black swan that we talk about that could really create a deeper recession and force a lot of people, you know, on television and financial people and everyone is, you know, I don't know if we're in a recession. I don't know. You know, maybe it's next year or, well, it'll be in your face, baby, by Christmas. So, don't ignore this Christmas rally because it is. It's not really. But combined with it being a bear market and these short cover rallies on top of that, you'll have an opportunity to liquidate and get to go to cash. Because remember, your first loss is your best loss.
That's true. Yeah. Well, I should remind Craig, the government does have the ability to shut down Article 1, Section 8, Clause 3 in the U.S. Constitution gives them that authority. And in 1917, the Supreme Court confirmed that Congress has the authority to intervene in rail disputes that threaten to disrupt interstate commerce. So they have every right to be there. So nothing wrong with that. So,
but I just want everybody to realize that the whole difference of policy is important. Yes, Trump did pump trillions into your market. He rebuilt your military and several other areas, but he reduced regulation. And having done that, you know, the response was immediate, and the economy started to expand.
Yeah.
So while there was money that was provided, and especially during COVID, people kept their jobs for the most part because they stayed at home if they could. But they saw it as an opportunity to regain and reduce their debt, which they did. The Americans paid off $700 billion in credit card debt. A lot of stuff happened that was positive because of policy changes regarding regulation. We're not seeing that now. You know, I mean, they keep talking about it, you know, the Democrats. Oh, I guess we do have a problem now with crime. Did you notice that this week?
Yeah. You
know, and did you notice that the mayor of New York has now decided to institutionalize the homeless if they're a danger to themselves or others? Remember, what was it, 9 months ago, we talked about utilizing the military because, you know, it's a huge government medical infrastructure that veterans have. And I don't think you can take away from the veterans anything, but I mean, as room and everything opens up because the veterans are passing on now and even our generation, right? So at some point that you don't want to have an empty shell of the largest medical services in the world is, you know, for the, in your country for the military, and it should be utilized.
Yeah. Well, the other thing too, this is a double-edged sword for the Democrats. One is going against the unions. If they're going to go against the unions, that's the third rail. That's like going against senior citizens with Social Security. So that's he's got to walk some kind of a tightrope here. They're going to have to get either 3 sick days or 4 sick days or something out of this. And the other thing is, if you're going to give your employees 25% more money, then that's got to be passed on somewhere. So it's going to be passed onto the store shelves is where it's going to be passed on to, and that's going to increase the inflation that we already have. So, you know, even if they resolve this thing, that money is still there. That agreement's in place, so that's going to happen. So look for your peanut butter to be 10 cents more or whatever. Right. Yeah.
And of the 32 quarters that Trump oversaw of your economy during his presidency, mm-hmm. you know, better than half, you know, over 16 of those quarters had 6 to 8% GDP growth. Not all of them. It leveled out to between 4 and 6, but it's still far greater than what you're looking at now.
Yeah, that's for sure.
You know, with the economic collapse now happening in China, there's no time mm-hmm. left for people not to move now because of the mm-hmm. years it needs to build facilities to produce product. Corporations plan for 10, 20, 30 years for this stuff.
No, that's true. Yeah. So it's we'll see what's going to happen. The House passed it, sent it to the Senate. So they will more than likely vote on it quite quickly, and certainly before the 9th. Because they've still got to deal with the government shutdown as well, so we'll see see where that goes. So,
but I don't see the unions, obliging whatever they pass.
They don't have to. I mean, they don't have to go to work. I mean, you can tell them they can go to work. You can fire them, but you know, then what do? You're still in the same boat.
Well, they're looking for workers now. How can they afford to get rid of the ones they've got?
So, well, that's what I say.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, the unions have a lot of pull on this. They really do. And that's why I prefer unions in the public sector rather than the private sector, because the companies can increase prices and pay people, where the only way a public union can pay people more is more taxes on us. So,
well, that's right. And new people coming into this industry, the railroad industry, of course, mm-hmm. it's a 4 to 6 year process to become a full member of the union and get your card, get your mm-hmm. plaque, whatever you want to call it. So, it's one of these issues that no one has a conversation about all the downside to it and how it, individual people's lives are going to be massively affected.
Yeah, they will. That's for sure. So, we'll see. Even if this does not happen, I think it's still going to slow down Christmas somewhat. Although Black Friday turned out to be pretty good, but it's already Cyber Monday's already passed too, but those people haven't gotten their stuff yet, so.
Well, that's the other side of it. A good point because, we all know that retail, particularly in your country, had more than enough stock already, plus from last year or mm-hmm. from the summer and fall.
Yeah.
Number one. And number two, you still go to the stores now and see shelves empty. Mm-hmm. And you know that was with a seemingly reasonable trade, or trade transport system working. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine, how bad it'll be, although I did predict this, so I'm trying to be positive. We'll see, but the numbers aren't good, Tom, and they're getting worse, and individual companies that most people recognize are having real problems, and this last quarter, I don't think they're going to be good numbers when we come into January and February.
Yeah. Well, particularly with China's issues and what's going on, the you know, the upheaval in Europe. Yeah, it's not going to be good, I don't think, Shane.
No, I don't. Yeah.
All right. All right. Well, we've probably done all the damage we can do here, Shane, I guess.
I don't know if it's damage, but we had a conversation about it. And
well, that's true.
We provide the content, and we provided the information people need to have to understand what is going on here. And that's what makes it so much fun. You know, you and I are more than prepared to do the research and evaluate it and put it together in a commentary that is reasonable. Where, you know, we don't argue about anything. We're just putting it out there and trying to, you know, create.
Take it or leave it. Yeah.
Yeah, trying to create an understanding of what the results may or may not be.
Yeah, so. All right, let me remind you, we're here every Tuesday and every Thursday at 10 a.m. Mountain Time. This is, of course, Thursday. Don't forget to subscribe, ring the notification bell, and like us. You'll find the subscribe button down in the lower right-hand corner on your screen, or you'll also see it below the video if you're watching this after we're off the air. We really appreciate our new subscribers that have recently joined us, and we appreciate you guys very much. So thanks for doing that. And we also need to remind you for sure that the award-winning Tom and Shane, we're on radio live every Saturday, 8 to 11 Mountain Time. Listen live at KMMSAM.com. You can hear us anywhere in the world. You can call us. You can text us. You can click listen now. Nothing to join. No signups. No email. None of that malarkey, as the president likes to say. And our past shows are also at KMMSAM.com. Just click on Tom and Shane's podcast. You'll see all of our podcasts. We just recently went over 10,000 downloads of our shows, so we're very proud of that, of course. And well, let's certainly hope that they get this thing resolved, Shane, because if not, it's going to be a mess. So,
well, they'll get it resolved. It's just going to cost a lot.
It's going to cost a lot of money. Yeah.
You know, we'll watch it, because once it's settled, then we can make some guided, anticipated results to it.
Yeah,
and we'll have that conversation, because that's what we're
doing. All right, that's gonna wrap it up for us. Hey, thanks so much for watching. Don't forget to subscribe, ring the notification bell, like us, and we'll see you on our next podcast, and we'll talk to you on the radio on Saturday.